Hey guys, this is Billy and I'm joined by Cab. You're listening to the Wrestling Show. Cab usually does the intro, but I wanted to say something serious today to start things off. Now, there's a podcast out there that we've antagonized and made fun of, and particularly one member of that podcast. We all know who it is. And we've done this for a long time. I don't want to apologize because that's not what we do. But when I see that they've taken it upon themselves to come down to the performance center and to start smashing up shit, taking it that personally, and I'm seeing them actually on WWE TV trying to get noticed, and that we've pushed them to that point, I think it's time to sort of backtrack from that situation. So, Steel Cage, Derek in particular, I see you walking around. There's no other wrestler out there that's 5'2" that would be smashing shit up. Just stop. Stop doing it. Stop going back. You're going to get yourselves in trouble. We're just having a bit of fun. And at this point, we're going to refrain from talking about you guys until you stop going down to the performance center and doing what you're doing. It's just totally unnecessary. So I just wanted to get that out of the start, and then Kev can take over.
You know, it's very funny that you say that, because that was one of my first topics, is why are these guys look like Tozawa's ninjas, for one? They just look like little guys in fucking hoodies and masks. It's not intimidating. It's not like the cool bad guy thing either. It's just...
Oh, and it's like, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And I told Faust the other day, I go, the guy's got a crowbar and he's just slamming the middle of the ring with the crowbar. It was like they're tearing stuff apart, but it was anticlimactic, and it wasn't like when Nexus did it. It seemed better, you know, when they ripped things apart. It's just, I don't know what to think at this point with this goofy group. It's not a scary group, that's for sure.
No, not with the size of the people, at least.
No, they're all fucking tiny.
And they don't act like main event talent, in terms of, they don't act like guys that are going to be in them. Just into, even so far with the masks on, I mean, I don't know whether these characters are going to be taken over by people and they're trying to put people in these positions, but we've already familiarized ourselves with their voices and their size. So if it turns out to be fucking a whole bunch of like underused guys like Cesaro and Ali and whoever, it's not going to work, because we already know how small they are. I mean, even Ali's not small as some of these guys.
No, the only thing that could come from this is where we have like that whoever the hell that guy was that was showing videotape of people backstage that was secret taped. If that came back and that person talked and said, so I've sent my people, you know, more of us are coming. Like, those are the fucking, like, little minions that do the bidding. Right. And then the real guys actually show up. Because it's like, you imagine this is, like, NWO type. This is who fucking stormed the ring and people are scared. The only reason they should be scared, obviously, is you have bats and fucking chainsaws. So Terry Funk ran out there with the chainsaw. He was cutting the fucking ropes. But I'm like, okay. I did like the idea of them jumping in the crowd to beat them up because they thought they were safe, you know? And it was like, okay, good, they could use that. So you might as well use what you can do.
There's guys in the crowd that would have beat the shit out of them.
Oh, towering over them, some of these people.
And I don't know why you just didn't use some of those. It's just weird to me, because when you have those huge guys available, I don't understand why you use these guys. I guess you can't go too big, because then you would definitely need to put a huge guy in. Mm-hmm. But I think going too small, to me, it seems like it is going to be small people, and it is going to be a very mid-cardish or even lower than that kind of thing. Aside from that, I don't understand how you have a ninja group and then a ninja terrorist group all wearing the same outfits, and then at the same time you have the Raw Underground going on, which was affiliated to this in the first week, but in the second week it wasn't. But we'll talk about it when we get to it, because let's round up SmackDown. This was the end of SmackDown where these guys actually showed up and did their thing. But up until that point, I think SmackDown, everything we're talking about on this show, I think everything this week has been pretty watchable to at least a 6 or 7 out of 10 level.
Well, you know how I say SmackDown is my show of choice between the two. Mm-hmm. And right off the bat, what they go into is how The Fiend is going to be there tonight, which
yep.
you would say, oh, okay, we haven't seen, like, it's so rare to get Fiend on regular television. And I'm like, he's going to get on the microphone and stuff? Like, that's where I think their issue is going to be. And they showed it never happened. But the acting of Alexa Bliss being kidnapped, and all I keep thinking is because she's in the same outfit, right? So right away, everything goes to me with, like, realistic stuff. I'm like, so she hasn't showered in a week? She hasn't changed in a week? He's had her kidnapped for a week? Where's she shitting? Where's she eating? And I'm like, well, she has her makeup still the same, too. Very good. Looks great. The other intriguing thing I thought that went on was the whole Sheamus and Corbin thing. I actually like this.
It's the only thing is that they rounded it all off kind of in one show. I don't know where you go from it.
That was the issue. Right away, they have a match. I go, oh, good. They'll have a match at SummerSlam where it finally gets to a head here. And it's like, no, right away. Let's go.
Yeah, it felt like a show story in order to fill out the show, because the show was really about Mandy's return and The Fiend. But, I mean, in regards to The Fiend stuff, it's always better, like, in terms of when he's around, and then to have him come down to the ring and do the entrance, which we've never seen on TV.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm talking, like, not just during the pandemic. We've never seen it televised on regular TV. So this is the first time that we really saw it. And
it's still one of the best.
Yeah, it was odd because Alexa appeared but didn't come down to the ring with him.
No, right after a commercial, she's just sitting in the ring.
Right, so I don't understand why he didn't make her come down with him. And in regards to that, yeah, I would have gone with the whole, her hair's all messed up and she is, I mean, that's
she
got to
look sloppy and tears running down her face, like mascara running, shit like that. But is this she's under the spell?
I don't know. I would have gone like down the more rapey route where she looked like she'd had a real fucking week of it, you know, like in the
I'm saying the mascara running down her face.
Yeah,
you know, really fucked up. But then the only way they got out of that was like she touched his face, like she's taming the beast. You know, it's very Elephant Man, and you know, she it's you know where they're going is like Charles Manson. It's like, you know, under the cult spell.
Well, I mean, that's they need something to fulfill the SummerSlam tagline, which is, you'll never see it coming.
Yeah, what is that?
Well, I mean, that's quite clearly something that...
We're not going to see coming?
Right, but it's clearly something that leads to the next Tuesday in Texas, which is called Payback, which is the week after SummerSlam.
It's a week after?
Yeah, so...
Wow. Then,
I was talking about this on Russo's show where I was saying that Pritchard has often said that one of the questions that he gets asked the most and one of the most requested show was Tuesday in Texas and why they did it.
Mm-hmm.
So he's fishing off the intrigue of that and has sort of sold it to Vince. And they've come up with this concept where Payback is going to be 1 week after SummerSlam. So I would think that the hotter feud is Drew and Orton, but we'll talk about it when we get to Raw. But mm-hmm. I could obviously see something here. I don't know if that's enough. I mean, that with a whole tagline, it has to be so big, and you really have three options. It's going to be Alexa turning, some kind of dramatic twist that sees Drew lose. You have this Antifa group destroying the event at the end, and then them getting booked into
Fuck.
And then Payback is their debut against WWE.
God.
Or you have Otis becomes the champion against the Fiend or something, which I think is the last choice. So yeah, there's the kind of scenarios I'm looking at, but I have no idea. And the thing is that I'm going to people straight up. I have a site where obviously I do wrestling news and need to find out and be on top of things, and I've done that consistently for 4 years, and I've ended up on Russo's show, which didn't happen easily because this came off the back of some guy mocking me and then me sending across all the stuff that I'd broken over the years, going on explaining where I get the news from, and then continuing to break the news over the last 4 months. So I've a proven commodity. I don't want to know what happens to SummerSlam. I'm not going to try and find out what happens to SummerSlam. I owe it to myself to have watched the worst year in the history of wrestling. Come on, do this show. I do this show every week for you guys. I go on Russo's show. I do that every Wednesday. I don't want to find out what happens. I'm not going to find out what happens. I'm not going to tell you what happens. I'm not going to ask. So I'm telling you that now. I need to not know, because it's something that interests me, mm-hmm. and I don't want to ruin this for myself, and I deserve to not know.
The one thing I wanted you to find out that I was going to ask you about, I have not listened to Bruce's show in it's months. I actually just started listening to Bischoff after months too. I just haven't bothered. I've listened to other stuff.
Because he's like that AEW number up, didn't he? So nearly.
You know what? I never saw it either. I got to actually watch that.
It's AEW, the last hour of AEW. It's pretty shit at the start, mm-hmm. but from the point where Sammy Guevara nearly kills Matt Hardy, like, this is the fucking.
I saw the chair shot on like Instagram.
Oh man, I've never seen blood like that pink.
Oh, he
like,
cut him, huh?
I don't know what part of the head that came from, but it's like a fucking brain artery or something. Like, that was fucking disgusting. That was worse than the only one that I've seen that's made. There's two that I think are worse, or maybe up there. Maybe this was worse. I need to watch them again. Eddie Guerrero against JBL in 2014. Mm-hmm. I believe
I've got one for you too after you miss it. Let's see if you miss it.
And then Vince McMahon 2003 against The Undertaker, Buried Alive. You need to go and watch those two play jobs. And I know you're on SummerSlam, so I bet you're going to throw me a SummerSlam one.
No, I'm not. There's two that come to mind. One is Bret and Austin, because there was a pool on the floor from fucking Austin. But the first one that came to mind is Joey Mercury's face getting ripped open.
Oh, yeah, at the TLC in 2006.
Look at you. I don't even know what year it was, but I know he got hit in the face with a ladder.
It was Armageddon, TLC match. In 2006, for anybody that wants to go and watch that. Yeah, that's bad, but it's not as bloody as the ones I said. It's bad because of the actual injury and what it leaves behind in terms of what you can actually see. But the blade jobs that Vince and Eddie do and that Matt does this week, they are like so gross. Like, they're hard to even like look at.
Modern day, like ECW, where they fucking cut that kid open and he was pissing.
The Vince one, yeah, it's like that. The Vince one is particularly gross because the blood and the mud all mixed together and it's really fucking disgusting in terms of like him rolling the mud with the blood, and it's so gross.
Why don't I remember that? Vince was in the mud with blood?
Yeah, it was a Buried Alive match, 2003 with Undertaker. It was the reason why he brought back the. Kane helped, and this was the reason why he brought back the old. Is the death of the American Badass?
Oh, okay. Jesus, I didn't fucking remember it.
I'm gonna watch all of this after the show.
Let's get into. Okay, we'll roll through the stupid stuff. With when we had it was Cesaro and Lindsay Dorado, which is weird that they're pushing that. Where the hell is Kalisto? By the way, is he sick? It's been a long, long time since he's been around.
He's not in the Lucha House fight.
Haven't seen him at all.
All right. I don't know.
Who cares? But, I mean, it's... Yeah, we don't see him at all anymore.
Didn't he ask for his release after he lost to Drew McIntyre? And I was like... Because I texted to Drew, and I was like, how funny is this guy lost to you? And he thinks he should get his release for that.
Oh, shit. I don't... You know what? I don't know that.
I don't think he wasn't granted, though. He asked for his release and it wasn't granted.
So he's one of those just get put aside, and now they make his friends do well. So it started with Matt Riddle and Sheamus, as we were saying, because we get to the Sheamus Corbin thing. So is this a matter of Seamus being a good guy now? Is he gonna? Is this is how they're getting him there with Corbin interferes or Shorty G, which I'm waiting for them to change his name again, since he's a bad guy. He attacks Riddle, so that means Seamus is disqualified. So Seamus gets pissed off and goes and yells at Corbin. Where there's another girl in the back. We keep getting these random women in the back, and I'm like, well, I don't think she's from The Bachelor, because the other girl, Demi, she's still there on Monday Night Raw.
She's been there a week. At least she changed her clothes.
Yeah, I was like, well, she wasn't there the week before, but she was there the week prior to that. So it was like, are they actually going to try to have her sign up and do something? Cause
no, she's at one taping. I don't think she'll be there next week. She was there last week and this week.
And then we get, of course, disqualification on Corbin, where Seamus interferes. So, and it's pretty good because they just beat the shit out of the opponent, not the guy that they're mad at, which is smart if you want to disqualify somebody. You go attack the other. And like we said, they do the payoff immediately, and we don't even get like them to be held off to get into the fight a little bit and say, this is what's going to be at SummerSlam. Right away, they have to fucking have a match now tonight.
I think what you're probably seeing is a bunch of babyfaces being built up for the Fiend. And I think you're going to have to go heavy on that side. I think Jeff is obviously going to get a WWE title match once the Fiend has it. I think Big E and Kofi, you can play off Fiend doing something to one and then the other one coming in and defending the other. And I think you can go down that route. At the same time, you also have AJ carrying the US title, at which case that brings in Riddle, potentially Sheamus. Sheamus is good enough to go for, big enough to go for either. So I think that's what you're doing on that side in terms of stacking that up. So you have Jeff Hardy, Sheamus, Big E, Kofi Kingston, Matt Riddle, all as your title contenders until Roman decides he wants to just come back to work and probably get the match at WrestleMania.
No shit. Yeah, but also, shocked we haven't seen him.
There's a draft coming up as well. In a few weeks.
Really? Why would they even bother?
I don't know, because it's going to be a year. I think it's going to be up to a year when they're on, after a year after they're on Fox, I think they're going to do a draft. I think they need to bother, I think mainly for the other side in terms of Drew's title reign, I would say. But I'm not sure about Sheamus. I'm not sure about Sheamus because I can see Drew McIntyre versus Sheamus on the other show. So I think this is just finding something for him to do. I wouldn't read too much into all of this.
The thing after this is we get the Miz and Morrison with Sonya going over the Mandy stuff. And I really didn't think we were going to see Mandy for one more week. But I should know better because they can't drag anything out. And I'll tell you what, it really doesn't matter what the fuck they do to her. She's top of the line.
I said last week that the haircut was going to be at the point where it was, and obviously that was a good image. No.
Yeah, it looked fantastic. They called her Soccer Mandy, which I thought was pretty fucking good. But any woman that wears the wife beater shirt with tight jeans, I dig that because it just reminds me of like a wet t-shirt contest. I dug it. So she...
The jean shorts as well. I mean... The jean shorts.
I thought she was just wearing jeans.
She was, but I liked the jean shorts.
Oh, okay. Very good.
I remember I like one time took this girl home from a bar and she had jean shorts on. I was holding it in a high regard.
And then we get the steel cage breaking into SmackDown afterwards and chasing everybody off. So there's no announcers. There's no cameramen other than the main camera. And they're just screaming, yeah.
That was my friend, the main camera guy is a friend of mine, Rico.
Oh, okay, and the guy, the main middle camera who didn't leave?
Yeah, who just about, like, I think he like missed his cue to leave and was sort of left stranded there and almost got attacked.
There's got to be one.
They were terrible in terms of, they're not intimidating to me because they missed all of these people that they had a clear shot at.
They did.
It was like missing the easiest pitch in baseball. How they missed Corey, I have no idea.
Yeah, he was cornered. he took off. And they just kind of spray painted the floor, like, with squiggles. They didn't even... Yeah, I thought they should have wrote NWO on the floor. It would have been fucking great. But they did a WWE sign with a Ghostbuster logo. And they cut the ropes. That was what they did. This is so stupid. It's so fucking stupid. And like, I'm the one saying, give it a chance. Let's see where it goes. I guess you could still do something. You could still pull the nose up, but they better do something quickly with, cause there's no intrigue of who is this, because there's no like single person in this outfit, you know?
No, the intrigue is only there in terms of who they've elected from either 205 or wherever to put in this position. Because I'm intrigued into how they get out of this. Because when you do these invasions and whatnot, think of the fact that there was NWO years ago and the WWE's big one was Nexus, and now we have this. Mm-hmm. 10 years later, everything is kind of staggered, 14 years, 10 years, to we get to this point. You have to do it with good people.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't think that you can waste this, because you can't do this again next year when you decide that you actually want to do it with Ali and Owen. I thought the best way to do this would be a Kevin Owens-led group with the people that he cut a promo about. Like, it was a while ago now, where he turned around and said, this guy's underused and this guy's underused, and then cut his mic.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember what that even led to in the end. Probably something with
wasn't
Shane.
That Shane? It was Shane who told him to cut his mic off. Yeah, because it was at SummerSlam that Shane wrestled. That's the only reason I know, is because I saw the little storyline.
Yeah, and so if that was what they were doing, maybe a year later, that would at least be fine. That would still be too low, because it's not going to ever be the fact that, hey, we own the rights to the name NWO. We can do NWO 2.0. We can bring in Hall and Nash to say, to give the rub and say, these are the next appointed guys to carry on the, mm-hmm. the legacy or whatever. We may as well give up on that. For some reason, they won't do it, but at the same time, there won't be a new Evolution. There won't be a new DX. All of this stuff that they can do, they leave in the past. Instead, what we get is Saturday night's main event promos to open up the show and all this kind of stuff. That's the kind of nostalgia that we're getting, stuff that isn't that important.
Yeah, it's I don't know. It's not even, there's so much fucking that they could change with this. Let's get into Raw. Right off the bat, see, I start this 5 minutes late, right? I said, okay, well, you know, you get DVRs, you fast forward. So I said, okay, I'll wait till we get the commercial. So it's Joe doing the contract signing for Dominic and Seth. And it's double contract because it is Dominic going to be signed to be a superstar and also for the match on SummerSlam. So with Joe there, Joe is like buddies with Dominic. And he says, let me hold the kendo stick. He takes the stick from Dominic, which right away I go, oh, fuck, I hope he doesn't turn on Dominic.
Do you know what's wrong with this?
When we get to the meat of it, I know what's wrong with it.
No, in terms of Joe being friends with Dominic.
Oh, no, what's wrong with it?
Do you not realize that before WrestleMania 35, that Joe was beating the crap out of Dominic in building up to the match with Ray?
Was he fucking beating him up? Fuck, I don't even remember. See, and this is what they count on. People like me who don't fucking remember shit because it's...
And people like you are doing podcasts, so you should be...
Well, I don't pride myself. I'm a sidekick on this podcast. This isn't my primary doing wrestling podcast.
You don't miss a show, though. You don't miss a show. So
no, I don't. And
that's... Now I'm seeing like how that can...
And I think it's because it's not memorable, like you're bored out of your mind when you watch it, so it completely just fades through your head, where I'm like, whatever, because I'm thinking of the time that Brock killed him, right? Did Brock beat the shit out of Mysterio too?
Dominic.
Yeah. Because that's what's in my head. But yeah, anytime there's enemies, they're friends fucking 4 months later.
Yeah, they don't. That's the thing. They don't.
Look at Shorty G. He's best friends with Corbin now.
I bet you like fucking Charlotte Flair and Randy Orton are put on Raw Talk at some point, and they don't forget that he just mocked her dead brother and beat the fuck.
Yeah, it's not a problem at all. So they're friends now, right? Okay. So after this contract signing, and I love Joe as the badass, even though he does the greatest job ever and then will lose every fucking time. So it's like he talks all that shit to Brock and gets thrown around, but he makes you believe he has a chance before anything happens. So that whole thing, okay, they're going to have this contract signed. They sign it. Joe is there to witness it and make sure no bullshit goes down. Okay, fine. Now we have a match with, who do we got? Mysterio, okay, Humberto and Seth Rollins. So Dominic gets to be ringside and watch this. After Seth wins, Dominic gets attacked, thrown in the ring, which, talk about, is a pay your dues segment. And, you know, welcome to the club. And cane the shit out of him. They cane the living piss out of the man. And tie him in the ropes, which I've never seen this done before, which was fantastic. Tie him in the ropes, and Murphy goes behind him to smash him in the back with the kendo stick. And Rollins is in the front using the kendo stick, back, forth, back, forth. Really just wailing the piss out of him. So he's really marked up and fucked up. And I'm watching this. I think I went to the bathroom in the middle of the match, the Humberto match, right? So I come back and I'm watching this and I go, did they beat the shit out of Joe before this started? Because I don't hear Joe. I don't see him. There's nothing. So I go, was he taken away or told to leave for the Rollins match? I don't even remember hearing him. I rewound the fucking Rollins match and rewatched it to see when Joe left. And guess what? He didn't fucking leave. So,
no,
what the fuck? The only thing I thought he could say is he's got to be a man and he's got to deal with this. He can't have someone saving him every time and do it that way. Like it's a tough love type of thing. Be like, I can't interfere in this. You know, this is regular, but because it wasn't like losing his eye, it was just beating the shit out of him. But it made no sense. That's the only thing I thought they could even quite to say. Because afterwards he says, oh, I'm handcuffed to this desk and I couldn't help. It's like, what? What are you talking about? You helped last week.
Yeah, that's the thing. I mean, he didn't make that clear in terms of whether there was some kind of thing put out to him saying that you can't do what you did last week. I mean, he didn't physically help. So he just stood in the way. Sure. But then he did say, if you want me to go in that ring, I'll beat the crap out of both of you. So he said that he would help.
And it wasn't like this was a normal beating. This is one where people should have saved him because it was like, you know, 2-on-1 and tied up and craziness. It wasn't just, I jumped someone. So that was a little odd to me. And he was completely silent during the whole thing.
Yeah, and that was the part of it that let it down, because I thought that Raw, I mean, it was a little bit lackluster in the middle, but mm-hmm. I thought it was bookended by really good stuff. And in terms of getting heat for the Rollins-Dominic match, mm-hmm. the way acted throughout, I mean, Rollins can't do anything about the way WWE have booked Samoa Joe, and Dominic can't do about it anything either. So Dominic took all that shit, which is great. And then Rollins, the way he acted through it was great. The fact that the company left out that difficult sort of factor where, what do you do with Samoa Joe? And didn't address it at all in terms of saying, you're forbidden from getting involved. Or even when Joe started the contract signing up, he could have been made to say something. I'd say, I just want to let you guys know that WWE management have told me that I can't get physically involved before he even starts the contract signing. Or if Rollins had antagonized him during the contract signing, Joe would have turned around and said, I know what you're doing. He goes, oh, I guess you think you could take shots at me because you know you know that management have told me that I can't lay a hand on you or whatever.
It's all it takes. Very simple.
Or Rollins says, oh, you're getting angry, Joe? You're getting angry? Well, tough. You can't do anything about it because we both know that management have told you to stay out of my face. It's easy. Like, it's so really? Easy to get it dealt with. Like, it's two sentences, but they seem to... That's this thing of this show. They always let themselves down. And I sort of came up with an interesting sort of theory in terms of what's wrong with WWE in terms of this and all their stories. The thing is, when you watch any kind of series or you watch any kind of even film, even during the film, your intrigue will build up.
Mm-hmm.
You're always trying to guess what happens next.
Yeah.
Like, that's what happens with every film, or especially with things like the Avengers films that like run on and run on and run on and run on, or Star Wars, and you're trying to work out what's going to happen in the third Star Wars or mm-hmm. the third event or in a TV show what's going to happen next week. It's most cases, it's always better than what you're thinking it's going to be. They always seem to have something slightly more clever or more out of your depth in terms of that. It always delivers in most cases. Now, people will point to that ninth Star Wars, and say that wasn't the right thing to do in terms of bringing about Palpatine and whatever. There's always going to be arguments where people are not satisfied with it. But more or less, most of the time, these shows do manage to build up that intrigue,
mm-hmm.
and then they deliver. And in most cases, you're happy with what they delivered and everything. WWE rarely books anything that's better than where your mind took you. And in terms of everything that we're thinking about, in terms of, oh, what's going to happen with Alexa and Bray and The Fiend and all that, that's going to be not as good as all the things that you're thinking they can do. This group invading Raw, that on SmackDown, that's not going to be as good as what you're thinking. Randy Orton and Drew, the payoff to whatever it's going to be, that's not going to be as good as what you're thinking. So in terms of they build all these storylines up, and in terms of even this one, with the I versus I being along the path, and that was just a part of the story as opposed to being the ending. When someone loses their eye, you think that's the final part. But no, it's continuing on with Dominic Mysterio, etc. And this was really good this week. But it'll never finish on a high note that films, movies, series, all this stuff finishes. And I think that's the biggest problem they have in terms of there's a lot of guys out there who not just people that do podcasts, but people that just generally watch, who end up finishing the story in their mind better than what we end up seeing. I don't know if you agree with that, but that's what I was feeling like this week in terms of that's a big problem they have.
I do. It's they never come up to expectations. Not recently, at least. Moving forward, we had Angelo Dawkins and Andrade, which was, I say, who cares other than what the match is at SummerSlam, is the tag team match against Andrade and his little lover boy. And all of a sudden, old Montez will be healthy. And I saw that they were getting shit this week because they were tweeting, pray for Tez on Twitter. They're like, that's kind of wrong to do a pray for a storyline.
Yeah, food poisoning.
Yeah, there you go. Bianca Belair, she beats Zelina, who looked very good in her outfit. I like her. She's a little spinner.
Oh, I know. She's a spinner.
Tiny little thing.
I think the funniest part of this, this is where the show sort of drags for me. As I said, it was bookended up really well. And obviously you needed Oscar and Bay. The last hour actually is pretty good. I like Raw Underground, which we'll talk about. But the only note I have here is Bianca Belair is so dumb. She has no idea what evidence means. She was asked, what evidence do you have that your husband was poisoned? And she put... her and her husband, her answer was, me and my husband, we tried to have separate careers, but she's got involved because of they poisoned him. And if they do it again, she'll have to deal with the EST of WWE. That's not evidence.
Yeah, that has nothing to do with anything. Yeah.
What does that, like, what evidence do you have?
And then she blew off Charlie. She was like, when Charlie goes, yeah, but what evidence? Yeah, that was retarded. Okay, and then we get a unnecessary loss for Apollo Crews versus Shelton Benjamin.
I don't care, because I just think we need to get... This is one of those situations where people are... First of all, I don't know if there was a big demand for him to get a push. I know like a few people are watching on the indies that said this guy was underutilized. I know one of my friends who's really into indie wrestling, and when he was signed, he doesn't even watch now. And this is the problem that WWE have in terms of guys that used to watch indies and WWE now don't watch WWE or the indies.
Mm-hmm.
But this guy was called Hoo-Ha Nation. He's like, oh, Hoo-Ha Nation's coming in and he's going to be really like amazing and you got to see this guy. And I've never seen it. And now I can't get past the fact his promo is talk. Talk.
Yeah, the laughing thing. It's me and you think exactly alike on a lot of shit, because when I saw him, you know, like I go, oh, look at the acting where it was. And I have this belt you spent thousands on. I'm like, oh, man, it's like, OK, now laugh here.
And this product will not improve. This product will not improve until these wrestlers understand that acting is about 50% of their job, because they can be the best performer in the world. And some of them are in this situation. And I really think that Seth has improved his acting, and he's in a much better position, or he's a much better performer than he was a year ago, even when he was champion, because his acting got better. And that's the thing, that Apollo Crews is nowhere near the level that he needs to be. You can't even put someone with his acting ability on TV doing anything but wrestling. It's so embarrassing. Like, if you're coming in from a neutral perspective and you're seeing the level of acting of some of these people, and some people can get away with it within their gimmicks. There's a lot of women that have to ha-ha, like, kind of bit in their heel persona with the Iconics. And Bayley and Sasha are kind of sort of gelling into the same act, whereas Sasha and Bayley are obviously far superior in the ring. But I think they're going to do something with Peyton. That I think that's my takeaway from at least this week with that segment. But yeah, Apollo is in a group of a bunch of people like Ali, Ricochet, and all these guys that can't act at all. We've got a bunch of guys in a different bracket. Drew, Orton's amazing. Rollins, Kevin Owens, all these guys can act, are in a position that they're in and deserve to be there, because they've shown under these conditions that their performance stands up.
And I'm wondering why Lashley isn't going for the title. Why is this MVP going for this fucking U.S. title where Lashley's been the one doing shit to him? The only thing I did like was that he was about to attack him and he said, no, hold on. I don't want you to hurt him because I won't get my title match. That was like logical. But it was almost like, I mean, they could destroy him at any time, because he had him like not even in the full Nelson. He was just holding his ass.
Yeah, and Apollo Crews ends up getting away with like some kick to the face or whatever. But yeah.
Okay. How odd is this that Mickey James came back?
Yeah, just came back. They advertised her to come back, and then she just does the backstage promo with Lana and that's Natalya again, falls into that bracket.
Oh,
but fucking even less justification in terms of
who's worse.
You've been there 11 years. Go take a fucking acting class. I mean, Lana, we know that even if she did the class, she wouldn't take it in, because she's one of the dumbest, most airheaded people I've ever seen. Like, you just have to follow her. I have now reached the point with her on Instagram and on social media that there's a complete lack of self-awareness in terms of, I thought she's just so good at getting hate.
Yeah.
Like, and she's found a way to, she's like a hate magnet and she understands how to get it. But I think she's just fucking dumb and clueless and doesn't understand. When she's on there like having epileptic dance fits, like I just think she thinks that's actually good. I really think she thinks that's
I
good.
Think so. I think she really thinks, look at me, I'm great. And I was like, oh, too bad we can't just play this for the show. Because it's 10 minutes and with us commentating over, it'll be forever. If you go to her Instagram from yesterday, she sits there and it's one of those longer Instagrams that you got to hit. And she talks about bullying and cyberbullying, and she talks shit about people who write dirt sheets about how, you know, of course, everyone lives in their basement and the people who are saying bad things and they got to say good things. And it's so fucking cringeworthy, because she thinks she's like trying to change the world, and it's really fucking, it's rough. I'm like, she doesn't see that she, how she comes off, and it's like, how could people, you know, say certain things about me, where I'm like, well, you're in the public eye for one, and you put stuff out there to be talked about. You're with all these fucking TikToks. And so she's, you know, upset that people are, you know, bad for her mental health. And, oh, you moron. You know, she's yelling about the people that believed that she, you know, left her husband. I'm like, it goes back and forth. It's painful to listen to, but it's one of those where we should almost have a fucking watch along with it and pause and just make fun of her the whole time, because it's that fucking shitty. It's like 7 minutes, 8 minutes. You're going to have to watch that today. I'm going to send you the link, because you'll lose your fucking mind. You might do a solo show just pausing it and ripping her.
Right, yeah, I'll check that out.
So I guess she's going to be the manager of Natty? Is this what's going on?
Oh, yeah, they set that up. They set that up a while back, so yeah.
Yeah, but I'm like, we still haven't seen anything from it other than that they were, like, talking and walked away, which you assume, but...
I think she came down with her once. I think she came down with her once, like, for a match.
Do we really care about the ninjas with Tozawa?
No, I've already addressed my only notes on that. I put, how dumb is it to have jobber ninjas and then have a group of ninjas invading the show? And I don't understand. Like, the ninjas outside the show, mm-hmm. Why don't you go with normal clothes, no normal clothes, and robber masks, right?
Yeah.
And when you, why have you got two people?
Yeah, the president same, mask. Apparel. Call them the dead presidents or something.
Yeah, I don't know why you've got two guys in the same apparel. And the thing is, even with the ninjas that you do have, like Tozawa's ninjas, like ninja outfits can be white or black. Like, there mm-hmm. should have been something to differentiate the two.
Yeah.
I don't understand why you're wearing exactly the same outfits, because it just seems like the ninjas,
there's no hood on the back.
All the AEW, like Dark Order, are invading Raw or something. It's just so dumb. You have all of this going on at the same time.
The only thing I liked is that Truth was one of the ninjas and, like, refused to get in the ring, and you don't realize it, and then he pins Tozawa to become 38-time champion. But, you know, I mean, that 24/7 belt, whatever. Who gives a shit? As we said, Peyton Royce, she actually beats my other pinup girl, Liv Morgan, which I'm looking at the outfits of Iconics, and I'm like, what the fuck is wrong with Billie Kay with the granny panties? It is the most unflattering fucking outfit ever. It's all pulled up to her fucking tits.
Yeah, I don't know.
She's not attractive.
It's so weird, because she should be, like, and I can see why some people would find her attractive. And the thing is, she's almost more attractive when I see her photos on, like, Instagram and stuff, when she's just normal.
Mm-hmm.
It's just about this caked on makeup and I don't know, there's something just, and this big head, there's something just weird looking about her. But I mean, Peyton, in order to get to where she's at, there's definitely been a lot of work done. She's had a lot of work done in order to get her to this point, because if you see what they both look like growing up as kids coming through the system and all that, Peyton's had a lot. But you know what, the thing is, no one gives a fuck. We're men, and
yeah, give me the end result.
We just want to go with the end result.
You just can't have kids with her.
Yeah. That's
it'll get the original genes. So,
but you're fine, because you don't want that anyway. So.
Yeah. See, it'd be perfect for me. She just can't have any of these kids. There's a distraction by Ruby Riott in this match, which causes Liv to lose, and they kind of don't go anywhere with it. But maybe that's another seed. Like, as soon as they got back together, now they're going to have a problem. The big match of the night seemed to be Asuka versus Bayley, who Bayley did a mimic of sucking a dick as she marched through the ring. Did you notice that?
No,
she did the Kairi march, and then she did a dick sucking emoji. She was doing that telescope thing, but it looked like she was sucking dick.
No, I
thought she was playing the trombone, to tell you the truth, at first. I go, what the fuck is she doing? So she actually loses. Go ahead.
I think Sasha is the one woman in the world who at the moment, who I regularly see, who gets away, who gets the pass with no boobs. Like she pulls off no tits better than anyone. Like with the whole leather look and everything.
She knows how to dress.
I like it when she's walking around with the bare feet as well. I think they're just,
I did too.
I don't know why, because I'm not even like the foot guy, but yeah, it works for her.
Yeah, I'm not Mr. Foot either, but it did look cute, the outfit she had on. And I'm telling you though, I guarantee those titties are fried eggs.
What do you think it would do for her look if she added some like boobs? Like, do you think it'd make a big difference?
Oh,
like,
I think it would make quite a difference. I mean,
you don't think it would look odd? Like, some people just look, doesn't look right.
Well, if she went crazy, I thought if she gets like a large B to a very small C, like that's it. No Dana Brooke style or anything like that. Just a little roundness to him. Almost like a Peyton. Peyton doesn't have giant tits, but they're like round, you know?
Yeah.
Just a little plumpy. That'll do it. We actually have Raw Underground time.
Where are we at with our show?
We are 47 minutes in.
We can't do this 40-minute show.
It's nearly impossible. Well, we're flying through here because Raw Underground as a whole, you actually enjoyed this week's one? I kind of thought, what the fuck happened? It seemed like nothing happened.
It's just something to cut away to. I know Austin likes it. The only thing I would have done differently is I would have built up some, I would have had some like nothing guy in there, mm-hmm. the one win match and saying, right, he won, who's next, some guy we've never seen before. And then Shayna comes and beats him up and really like starts fighting. She beats a man up and then the three women come in and she beats all them up too. I mean, I think they showcased her okay, but I mean, this does still look like fake MMA, but I think that it's certainly a decent break from wrestling. I wouldn't mind this just carrying on for a bit.
Here's my question. Was that blonde chick that was doing the underground, was that Bo Dallas's wife?
I have no idea.
I'm thinking it might have been because his wife is like a arm wrestling champion. And this chick had some arms to her, and I think that same hairdo with that buzzed sides, you know? It's the first thing I thought about. But in the reports I read, that nobody says anything about it. They just say three enhancement talents. So that's that. We get Orton versus Kevin Owens.
It was his wife, yeah.
Oh, it was?
Yeah.
See, look at that. I'm fucking good. I haven't seen her in fucking 100 years. He's not even there, but she's on the fucking show.
Yeah, Sarah Backman.
There you go. She had some fucking arms on her. Owens and Orton from last week, the setup, and Orton wins. And then this is the main point of the show that people grade for an A. After Orton's done, we've been waiting for him to turn on Flair, which you're always waiting for the RKO on somebody, right? That's what he does. But Flair can't take RKOs, so you're wondering, how are they going to do this? The speech was pretty good by Orton because he laid into him pretty good about having a fucking pacemaker and being in a coma, all that kind of shit.
Yeah, I thought that the promo was really, really good. I obviously, again, with WWE, doesn't really make sense how we got here because he's been walking around with him for a while and he's allowed it,
mm-hmm.
and felt all of his stuff. Like, why did he allow it in the first place? Because Ric Flair did all that shit. I mean, had that stroke and was in the intensive care and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
That happened a year ago. So he let him walk around. I mean, if he's holding that against him, which is a weird thing to do anyways.
Why'd he bring him in then? Yeah.
Yeah. Why'd he bring him in? And then obviously the catalyst they said was the Kevin Owens thing. But you know what? I'm past the point of complaining about the small things, because obviously if I was there, I would try and obsessively tie everything together because I want this kind of TV show movie kind of symmetry that they all seem to have, this consistency where everything ties together. I want that and I look for that. But at the moment where we've struggled through this period, when something is good, it's good. Like the thing with Drew and Heath was a pass. This was more than a pass, because I like it when they go and get really personal in order to build up feuds. I like it when CM Punk was mocking Jerry Lawler's heart attack, and I always go back to that because I always remember it in terms of Punk being able to go to places in his feuds where other people wouldn't go. And here, this is what he did here. He went to the thing about his son, saying, "I'm the son you didn't have," and attacked him for nearly dying. And then Flair come back, and everything he said was good too. It wasn't a Ric Flair who we've seen in the past who couldn't talk anymore. And I think during this entire run, since he came back, he has been saying his own shit, and he's been a lot better. And Ric Flair coming off TV now, it was done really well, but it's almost a shame because Ric Flair wasn't bad on TV. It wasn't like when Hogan and Flair were on TV a year ago and they were captaining the two teams for that South, where the talking was pretty bad. And you could tell it was scripted and whatever. And all the times that Kurt Angle came in for such a unbelievable talker. This was a guy who could only do the in-ring stuff, and then all of a sudden he's unbelievable at talking. He's funny. He just caught that other side of it, the acting, the mic skills, and became one of the best of all time at that. And see him as the general manager, and when he came back and all that, and in backstage promos and everything, Kurt Angle was a shell, a small shell of what he was in his career. It was so fucking sad. It was like he was, it's like he'd lost 25% of his brain or something when he came back. And Flair, he wasn't that. He hasn't been that for the last month. He's been really good with Big Show, with Owens, and in this segment as well. Ric Flair has actually looked like whatever they did to him, like they almost gave him a new life. I mean, I don't know. He can probably die now next week. But like they almost gave him like a new life, like a new brain that functions really well.
So Orton, you know, does the whole, okay, I love you after all. He agrees.
Do you agree? Do you agree?
Oh, that he's going to die? Yes.
No, that he's been so much better.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he does. He, you know what? Because we've seen him do the other way, where it's been bad. Yeah. Where,
that's what I'm saying. Like, I don't know if you were sitting there like thinking, what are you talking about?
He's no. No, the only thing, it's funny, when I watch him now, I'm almost uncomfortable because I'm waiting for him to fucking go off on some weird thing or completely fuck up, because we've seen it too recently. I'm not used to him being good anymore.
He would tell like a weird road story.
Yeah.
No one knew about it. He'd be like, "Oh, remember when we like fucked those eight strippers and we got STDs and on TV?" And
yeah, right in the middle of that Evolution fucking thing. So you're waiting for something crazy to happen instead of actually him following along. But he's all heartfelt when he talks to Orton, which was great. And then Orton like hugs him, and you go, okay, huh? But how are they going to do this? Because the guy can't take a bump. So he fucking, Orton hits him in the balls. And then it's time for, which Fausti was upset by. He said, the punt. He goes, great, turn the fucking lights off and we don't get to see the punt. Get the fuck out of here. And I go, well, it's fucking, I go, what are you going to do? I go, the guy can't take a bump. And he goes, then why do it? I go, it's movie magic. He said, thank you, Bruce. I said, well, you know. So I'm like, I didn't have a problem that the lights went off for the punt, because the same way they did Christian, I thought they were going to do Orton, this whole thing, to where it's just edited, because you can't do the bullshit kick like they did in front of live audience. You'll do a full swing and then pick it up on the backside when you swing through or something, you know? So, but with the whole lights flickering, so we don't see it, we just assume Flair's dead. And your boyfriend runs out. Oh, sorry. Derek's best friend runs out there. And he's like,
well, that's another way they could have got out of it, because I mean, Drew could have got out before the punt. You didn't need the punt. The low blow was enough.
Well, I thought this is to get him out of there, though. Like, he'll be gone now.
But he'd be gone anyway, because he doesn't have anybody to stand with. He's just been fired and beaten up. So he doesn't. What's his reason to come back? He's just going to linger around like some old wannabe trying to like
a lech in the back.
What the fuck happened to Mark Henry and Farouk?
Yeah, what the fuck did happen to that?
Like, they were hanging around too. Like, speaking of like people that were lingering about, Yeah, so
every once in a while, so they just show up. Someone just shows up.
It's not. There's such a lack of consistency. As somebody that wants to be consistent, it's like even bothers me that when we say we're going to do a show like 40 to 45 minutes and then we're like well over, like that bothers me. I'm sitting here the whole time since we passed the mark thinking, do we change to say we're going to guarantee a 45 to 60 minute show? Like, because that at least means that I'm not WWE in that situation where.
Well, you still got 4 minutes left, 3.5 actually, for that guarantee.
Well, I'm done. I think the last thing I have to say on it is that I think Drew should have come out there before the punt. I don't think they needed to fully write him off. But the fact that it was done and then obviously the eye contact and exchange, I think the show was bookended by two really good segments, two of the best of the entire year in terms of doing what they wanted to achieve. I am interested in those two matches at SummerSlam. I'm equally interested in Bray Wyatt and Braun Strowman. And I think they've done a good job with SummerSlam in the lead into three matches. And if I really want to see three matches on a pay-per-view, I think in this current day and age, that's a job successfully done.
And you know what I remember in the beginning of the show where I said, there is one thing I want you to look into, and I never told you what the fuck it was.
Yeah.
How the hell did we get away from that? Where I said, I haven't listened to Bruce's show in ages. So it was Bruce. Apparently, because Fausti reported this to me because I haven't heard the show, and he said something about, oh, how is sports look now? And Conrad told him, oh, it has like virtual fans in certain things and this and that. And he said, stay tuned. Something's coming with WWE. So something's going to happen with having fans or how they're going to get through this and have more shit.
They're changing location for SummerSlam and Raw and SmackDown from SummerSlam onwards.
Oh, where are we going?
I've no idea. I think we're going outside for SummerSlam, though. I think we're going to. I think they may be setting something up in Atlantic City. What I was told, but I'm not too sure. I don't think. I know SummerSlam's not in the Performance Center.
Oh, good. Thank God. At least it's. Something fucking different. We need some scenery change, that's for sure. And get something going on. So, well, that is your wrestling show this week. Where's your plugs there, Billy? You want to hit up something?
Yeah. Things have calmed down now a little bit for me on the soccer front. This is we're getting towards the end of the Europa League, Champions League. So I'll be doing a lot more work. I always do a ton more work as we head to full pay-per-views. Raw Rumble, Survivor Series, WrestleMania, especially SummerSlam. I'm always hitting up more content for the Patreon. So that's dirtysheets.com, or you get to it through dirtysheets.net. That's the Patreon, so make sure you check that out. I broke some news this week about everything that happened on Raw before, and it all ended up being right, so we continue to do that. I'm on Russo's show, recorded on Wednesdays, comes out on Saturdays on Russo's Patreon. My betting website is lockbetting.com. Killing it in soccer, KBO, and NBA. Since NBA restarted, I've got 5 games wrong. And it's just finding it so easy in the bubble. The teams that need to win tend to win, and there's a lot of points. So at the moment, I've had some free advice for you, but if you want all the actual picks, head over to lockbetting.com and just continue to make that money. And that's all my plugs, really. Oh, Austin's Toys is my son's Instagram, which he's doing again. Posted an action figure of Kamala on Monday. Signed figure.
As for my nonsense, everything is at Lingus Mafia. That's Twitter, that's Instagram, and my podcast, Lingus Mafia Podcast. Right now, on our Patreon, patreon.com/LingusMafia, we are in the middle of 32 days of Lingus SummerSlam, and today is SummerSlam 2008. Billy would know the main event just by saying that year, wouldn't you? Because yeah, I have no idea. Go ahead, what is it?
Edge Taker, Hell in Cell.
There you go. You have until next Sunday with all these shows in a row. If you sign up, you get all of them from 88 on, which Billy still hasn't listened to my SummerSlam 88. I didn't even ask him, but I know.
I'm going to listen to all your SummerSlams.
You scumbag.
I really want to get into SummerSlam.
All you got to do is listen to the one, because that's the only one on the free feed, is for fucking SummerSlam 88. And I told people, I've been screaming at the people who get the show for free, and I said, I'm going to give a second show. Only a second one on the free one. All the rest are on the Patreon. And I said, two people have to tweet us. Two people.
Can I get in on these SummerSlams that I've attended live?
Well, like, we're done. They're all in the can. We don't record every day. We fucking record 10 at a time. They were done. So, yeah.
Have you been to SummerSlam?
I have been. I was to one over here. They had SummerSlam over here, and I can't even tell you which one it was.
The one recently.
Whatever the hell was in San Jose.
Oh, I don't remember something.
I think it was Angle fucking won. I'm not sure. I couldn't even fucking tell you. But any of the pay-per-views that are over here, that's what I've been to. And, of course, we've been to a couple Manias, you know, traveling and shit like that. So, that's it. Go to Lingus Mafia stuff and all my fucking nonsense. And this week, an update on the cat and his kids from jail and all that kind of stuff. Big update on the show this week. So, and it's even better because I recorded him on audio and I'll be playing it on my show that he doesn't know he was recorded. So there's your info to go over to Lingus Mafia. For Mr. Billy Body, or Bill Batty, as he liked to be called and not correct anybody, I'm Cav Manning. We'll see you next time. You were saying?
And just to finish up, just to say out to Umar, we're sorry about your dad, and he passed away on Monday. And, we send our condolences. We'll have you on to talk about your dad, the great Kamala, at some point.
I'm going
to
call him Sugar Bear Umar.
But the resemblance is like uncanny as well.
Lenny Dykstra offered condolences to the fucking people of Uganda for losing a role model. All right, he's Billy. I'm Campbell. We'll see you.